Chapter 31. Location: Ruth's bedroom. Even though Nimbus was still confused about his edges and shedding skins, he did feel rejuvenated and together after a good night's rest. His mass was a snowy white, and his sky blue glasses reflected his sparkling cerulean blue eyes. But that soon ended when he and Megan entered Ruth's dark bedroom with the TV blaring. "Get out!" she shrieked, seeing Nimbus in the most angelic look-alike shape. "Mom, I told you this morning that Nimbus was here to help us, and he's an angel's helper. You must have been praying for it, because he's here to answer your prayers." She went to the window and opened the curtain.
"I never asked for that, creature. I was talking to God."
Ruth shifted in her bed, looking at the back wall. It was obvious to Nimbus that she was miserable inside and out. Nimbus realized that he was going to have to experience his sixth sense before it would be clear. However, it seemed that his sixth sense was barricaded in some room in his mind, with all of his other senses standing guard at the door. They all were afraid that if let out, number sixth sense would take over and they would be thrown out of a job. He tried not to let his angel shape fade. "Mother, please just hear him out," Megan said, attempting to adjust her mother's oxygen tube. Ruth pushed her hand away and fumbled it back into her nose correctly. "Yes, please, Ruth, I mean no disrespect, and I know that you are in a lot of pain," Nimbus said.
"You can take that away then, can you?"
she said snidely with her arms across her chest. "Well, I can try," Nimbus said. He couldn't believe he just said that, but maybe he could help her with her emotional pain with his new outlook. Maybe.
"Everything is just pointless, it is,"
Ruth said, smoothing out a wrinkle in her blanket. "I was just feeling the same way when I was leaving my last assignment," he said, hovering closer. "Which wasn't all that successful, I might add."
"Oh, so you say,"
Ruth said with a hint of a smile. Megan slipped out into the hall. Nimbus told her the whole story about Ricky and Floyd and then threw in Lady Meander for an added bonus. Ruth laughed at that part.
I am always fascinated about anything to do with the English," she said. "It's probably because I am Welsh and never met their snobby standards."
"I can't believe that, but they can be a bit stuffy."
"Beth Stuffy? You are too kind, Nimbus."
She reached for the TV remote control and turned off the soap opera as Nimbus formed into a baby crib mattress and relaxed.
"Do you need anything besides new lungs?" Nimbus asked, starting to feel that this lady had an educated dry wit.
"Don't suppose you have a pair in your mattress?"
"Well, let me check."
Nimbus tucked his head inside himself and then popped back out. "Nope.
No pity. Then a smoke would do, it would."
Ruth smiled sadly and shook her head, fumbling with her oxygen tube.
"Until you have worn the shoes of a dying person, you have no idea where the long walk takes you on a daily basis."
"Oh, that's intriguing, Ruth. I've never thought about it that way. I'd like to take that walk with you. I'd be floating, of course, but I bet you've had quite a journey so far."
I don't know if I can trust you to keep what I say in confidence."
"Well, trust is my middle name, and believe me, it is a very strong attribute in the angel realm. I can guarantee trust. However, I do discuss my special people with Archangel Michael. It's my evaluation to see how I can improve. Would that be okay if I told him?"
"Archangel Michael? The Archangel Michael?"
"Yeah, he's my boss."
Ruth sat up and started coughing. She pulled the oxygen tube from her nose and appeared to be choking.
Megan, we need some help in here, please," Nimbus yelled, trying not to expand.
Megan hurried in carrying a small bottle, which she opened and removed the eyedropper. She squirted a liquid into Ruth's mouth and patted her shoulder. As Ruth regained her calm and closed her eyes, Megan re-secured the oxygen tube in her mother's nose. "Maybe she should rest now, Nimbus." "Yes, of course," Nimbus said, drifting out with Megan close behind. Ruth had already fallen asleep as she closed the bedroom door. "I didn't mean to upset her," Nimbus said defensively. "I just told her that Archangel Michael was my boss. I thought we were getting along famously." "It's okay, Nimbus," Megan said, walking to the kitchen and replacing the bottle back in the refrigerator. The closer she gets to her final days, the more she is concerned about what's going to happen to her after she dies. "Oh, it's all good," Nimbus said. "I can assure you that all humans have good endings, regardless of what they believe. Some just have to keep repeating their soul story over and over and over until they get the lessons. And there are some who get it right away, though." "What are you saying?" Megan said and sat down at the kitchen table. "You mean even the worst characters get a gold star?" "They're already stars in the cosmic sense. But we are all on journeys to see the beauty in who, what, and where we are, in the unity sense. Even me." "Right," Megan said, shaking her head. She got up and turned on the electric tea kettle full of water. "No offense, Nimbus, but I'm just not up for the woo-woo talk about let's all love everybody, peace be with you, and have a nice day. I have studied too many religions, taken philosophy classes, and have gone to numerous retreats and seminars on how to make me a better person. And guess what? All of us human beings from all over this planet are in the same stew asking the same question." She looked at the teapot, waiting for it to click off. "And guess what they are asking? Well, some of us conscious breathers, anyway."
Well, they might be asking, how do I find enlightenment?
"No, Nimbus. Why am I here?"
"I ask myself that same question every time I start a new assignment," Nimbus said.
Megan smiled and shrugged her shoulders as the teapot clicked. "I'd offer you tea, but until you become human, it is just pointless. Don't you agree?" She poured the hot water through her cup strainer full of loose jasmine tea leaves. The aroma was divine.
"I think we are starting to understand why we are here," Nimbus said, "and that is leading us to our own path to enlightenment."
"Enlightenment?" Megan paused and sipped at her hot tea.
"Fuel, Nimbus. We are battery energies for the aliens. Didn't you see the Matrix movie?"
I think it's a whole lot more complicated than that, from my experience. In fact, philosophers have been trying to answer the why throughout the ages," Nimbus said. "Take that philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. He dealt with that very topic on existence and its meaning, or lack thereof, for that matter."
"I studied that guy," Megan interrupted. "He was an existentialist, and that's what I am saying. He proposed that it's up to each individual to make life meaningful, not social customs or religious beliefs. Wasn't he the one that professed being your own most authentic self?"
"Yes," Nimbus said, "but I was referring to his idea of the taking a leap of faith when all reason fails." Nimbus rolled out of his mattress shape and added,
"Have I come to any conclusions? All I know is that just to show up and do what I can to assist in any given situation, even if it's misjudged due to my lack of understanding for my lack of experience. You just have to let go of the old, Megan. You know, out with the old, in with the new."
He noticed he was starting to grow with passion and his not letting go. He sighed at her silence.
"All I know from my learned experience is love plays a big part. Actually, love is all. Well, as my mother always says, you can make it come out any way you want to."
"Yes, we can," Nimbus said, sighing. He floated to the door as Megan got up to go check on her mother. "I would like to continue this conversation later," he added.
"Okay. It's nice to have a different point of view, Nimbus. I'll be here when you get back."